All right, here we go. Last round. Ryan and Jen.
You can ask him about the watch.
I know Ryan's going to have the watch. I know it. I've seen it on his Instagrams. We didn't start the fire.
Ryan started the fire.
We didn't start the fire. Do we have everything cleaned up so we can get out of here right on time?
Vacuum.
I guess Dad has a vacuum.
Dad has a vacuum. I have to go with you, remember?
Oh, that's the worst idea ever. Where is it?
Tell him, call him.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yay. Woo. Ryan and Jen, ladies and gentlemen.
Just ask the question right away.
Closing out the show.
Aloha.
Aloha.
How was the
bienvenue?
Prom?
Yes, well, sir. Prom's not over yet. It's still in full swing. Well, she'll be done in a couple of hours.
9 o'clock there.
It's like 6 o'clock over there.
Yeah.
It's yesterday. It's like Thursday over there.
Yes, your daughter looked beautiful. So it's junior prom?
This is her junior prom. Oh, yeah. And she picked out the dress. She knew exactly what she wanted. So the process was actually really painless. And today it was just fun. It was just me and her getting ready. It was great.
That's awesome.
What about Dad? Was it hard for Dad to see her go off to the prom?
Dad does a pretty good job of being cool about it all. I'm sure I'm going to be a basket case eventually, but, you know, I'm thinking, oh, my teenage daughter's out of the house. That's okay. You know, I'm okay. But it is shocking when she posts pictures and I'm like, oh, who's that, I don't know, who's that 20-year-old? And it turns out to be my kid.
I know when my daughter went to her, oldest daughter went to her first prom, the guy, I'd never met the guy, and he came, his parents came over, and, you know, we're all, and the kid's hands were so sweaty. I think he was so nervous. He shook my hand. I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. And kind of slyly put my hand on my, it was kind of wiping my, it was like they were wet, weren't they? You remember.
I chaperoned that prom. So I just, as I was driving and took him to the prom, I just kind of had my eyes on him through the mirror there. It was kind of like.
Lots of hover hand going on.
What are your intentions, sir? Making it back by 11. But anyway.
Yeah, we're actually kind of lucky that she's not trying to get her driver's license. She's eligible. She got her permit, but it's not the top priority.
Really?
So as long as we make sure she doesn't actually get in the car with another student, we rest pretty easy. It's generally us who get to be her chauffeur.
Nice. Yeah, it's crazy to see Katie like go on a junior prom. It just blows my mind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I still have her little baby videos on YouTube back when, I don't know, 320 by 240 was high resolution. But that little baby is, yike.
Crazy.
One of my little babies just got married. So.
Yeah, I saw.
Congratulations.
So
that's a scary thing.
Yeah, yes, it is. So, Ryan, I've asked every single person that we've had on today.
I have been listening. I wonder if he's going to ask me this question. I'm sure he's looking forward to perhaps an answer that might actually be different from the one he's been getting.
The other 35 people.
Did you get your watch pre-ordered, your Apple Watch?
Yes, and for because it was at night easier for us than it was for most people to get that done. And in fact, I was early enough so that I do have a 24th July, April 24th delivery day. Yep.
Oh, good for you. Mine's in June, so.
Well, you went for the black one? Was that what I heard?
No, I did stainless steel with the blue leather loop.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, June I saw. But actually, you know what? Some of those dates have crawled back.
Oh, really?
So keep an eye on it. Yeah.
I will. I don't know because we, Apple is very gracious to give all the employees half off.
I saw that.
What? Yeah, there's very. It's one of the benefits of being an employee. So,
hey, anyway. I wanted to ask you. So, what do you think of the Zeppelin reissues?
It's interesting. It's weird. Hearing some of like the alternate takes of stuff. Because we have an inventory team and those play music, so they had that album on playing. And I was like, wait a second, that's not right. That's not part of the song. What is this thing? And I was like, oh my God, it's the thing, that album. So it's trippy hearing the alternate takes of those remastered albums.
Yeah, there were a lot of, because I have this bootleg called Rarities. Uh-huh. And it would be more of those. But just having the remixes, it's kind of strange. So I'm hoping that maybe like in Coda, the Coda reissue, it'll be a lot more of the outtakes and the songs that they just didn't put on any of the albums.
Yeah, I think he's probably saving those for something like that. Because, you know, I have like a bootleg version of like one of the first demos they did for Stairway, which is pretty cool to listen to. There's much stuff out there. No, it's not hard.
There is, yeah.
I just love how quickly Jen's like, all right, we are not talking about that goddamn watch.
I don't get the big deal about it. I just don't.
It's cool. You haven't
tried it on. Pebble,
so it's 20 years ago. It's been cool. It's just, I got a phone that does everything that it wants to do.
So, Ryan, what did you end up going with? What was your pre-order?
Oh, well, because I know that the first generation is never the best, and if I were a rational, practical person, I'd wait for the second, but I have to have the first. I got just the Sport with the green strap and with the larger face just because the battery life is better. But, you know, to Jack, I mean, I wasn't sure this was going to work for me either. That's why I got the Pebble. And because I fell in love with the Pebble, I said, okay, well, I'm totally all in for the Apple Watch. And it's true that now you've got your phone. But if you recall, the reason why watches started getting attached to your wrist is because people thought it was too much trouble pulling them out of their pocket. Well, what are you doing with your freaking phone when you need to know what time it is? Of course, you're digging it out of your pocket. I mean, there is something
very concerned
about the instant feature on your wrist.
Plus all the other information, you know,
I carry around a stick and a bag of sand stick in there, and that's how I know what time it is. And it's cheap.
I carry a sundial and a compass.
Yeah. Oh God.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. But no, I'm excited. I wasn't going to go stainless steel. I wanted to do the black on black Sport because it still looks great. That watch looks fantastic. But when Apple was being generous with their discounts for the employees, I was like, you know what? The stainless steel looks fantastic. It's still going to be cheaper than if I bought the Sport that I wanted to get. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, the stainless steel feels very good. I like the solidness of it. Of course, it's the glossy finish instead of the matte finish. So I'm jealous, but I'm not sure I'm crazy enough to actually work for Apple just to get a benefit like that. My hat's off to you.
Well, actually, the other thing it told me is, did you see the video where they kind of took the drill to the sapphire glass and like did all that crap to it, and it was still perfectly fine?
Right, right. That's true, too. That is impressive.
So I was like, well, that's almost worth what Apple Care I would have paid for, so let's go for it. But anyway.
I mean, there's a little bit of Stark Industries in the way that they're taking something as simple as a watch and kind of overdoing the manufacturing of it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like that.
But I think the other thing too is, you know, it's the first version of it. So eventually it's going to be like a vintage retro thing, which is, you know, with a wearable is still important. So,
I could never really sell my Newton, but okay.
Are there going to be problems?
I'm saying like vintage watches, like vintage Swatches are, you know, popular. Vintage Rolexes are popular. So.
I still have a Timex. You have my Timex. It still works.
Like a vintage Timex. It still works. Casio watches.
Come on, Casio.
Can
you're putting Casio
cool.
And Timex in the same.
The old calculator watch. Those are cool. Those are trendy. Those are hip.
Is it going to? You see, like Brian said, this is the first, you know, first run of these watches. Is there going to be like problems with it? Like there won't be like a 2 o'clock, and there won't be like a 9 o'clock.
No, I just think like anything that is just. And I think the reviews have been pretty accurate about it. There's things that you still wish it could do. I'm sure there'll be features that'll be added to it. It'll be made thinner. You know, this is the step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like the very first MacBook Air, which actually was very sexy, but actually kind of a disaster.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the first iPhone, which was pretty cool, but actually very limited and slow.
The first MacBook was sexy?
MacBook Air, yeah.
First MacBook Air, the super thin one that now all of their laptops look like, it was absolutely sexy. Now, sexy. I mean, to the point where every laptop looks like that.
Jen, was it sexy?
Yeah, yeah, it's very sexy.
It was like George Clooney.
But it was the air. The thing about the air is, like, Steve Jobs is out there. He has some mailer envelope, and he takes the computer out of the envelope. I'm like, oh my god, that's insane. Oh, whatever.
I gotta say, Jay, you are a fantastic Apple employee, a alpha model of a booster and a believer in the cause. I mean, I have to tell you, Android. I do carry other gadgets. I'm kind of bi that way. I'm curious, but your loyalty is noted.
Our 10-year-old is a serious Apple nerd, like a seriously scary Apple nerd. He's gonna end up running the company.
Hey, that's fine.
he's loved Apple since.
I got an in to, if you need to get a job at the company, I got an in. I can get you in. At least an interview.
Jay has loved Apple since he was like eight or nine.
My first computer is an Apple IIc.
He was talking about this Apple. I go, what?
Yep.
Just an Apple geek since that age. It paid off for him, though.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a business manager now. Woo!
I'm in charge of watches.
Anywho, we are here to talk about our top 10 sitcoms of all time.
Yeah, I didn't see Jack basically pulling every human being he could grab the ear of to get input on his list.
Well, I was open about my cheating. I did put you guys up, but I got stuck. I had nine, and I just got the last one tonight.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I was thinking about it, and then Ralph said something about it, and I go, all right, I'm going to put that in there.
So I know you guys broke Jen's streak last time. We'll see how she does this year.
Well, I'm not winning because most of these people weren't born when these things were out. So
it's true. It is true. All right. So who wants to go first? Like, what order do we want to do this in?
I'll go first.
All right. Jen is first. Top 10. And no sitcoms of all time.
No bullying.
This is a long-standing tradition, almost a decade-long tradition.
That's right.
In which we do a top 10 countdown of some sorts.
And we'll tell you how we came up with this idea. We came up with the idea from a certain show we were talking about. I'm sure it'll come up in someone's list, and I'll mention it when it comes up on the list.
And okay. Historically, Jen is like the New York Yankees of these lists.
Well, that's not true. Who won last year? It wasn't me. Was it you, Jay?
I think maybe I did win.
I thought it was Ryan and I tied.
Well,
was that the year before?
The
music ones I always win. It's not all of them. It's just the music ones.
But still,
I've only won like 99% of them, so like that doesn't count. Two, no, she doesn't want to be considered the Yankees because the Yankees don't win every year. That's what it is.
All right, the lovely Jen, why don't you kick us off here?
My number 10 is Archer on FX. Ooh. It's an animated series about spies. Although the storyline in the last season has kind of shifted away from that, but anyway, it's just so quotable in everyday life. We quote it every day, me and Ryan, pretty much. And it's cutting edge. It's funny. It's crude. It's sort of sweet sometimes, and it's my number 10.
I forgot about that one.
It is good. It is very good. I'll go next. We'll go with the Jays here. I want to say my number 10, as the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt puts it, six angry white guys or white people. Is that what they call it? Friends.
They're live, damn it.
You put Friends on there?
Friends. Friends is my number 10.
All right. This is how we came up with the list, because I said it didn't hold up.
I think it does. Since it's been on Netflix and I've been watching it again.
For me,
I think Friends holds up.
It was on. In fact, I got everybody in our house watching it. But when I started, my daughter watches it every day. The one that just got married, every day she has Friends. It's on, is it Nick at Night? What's on TV
Nick
Land?
At Night. I don't
Whatever. Know. It's on all the time. She watches it all the time. And I'll watch some episodes. Some are funny and some aren't as funny. I noticed the laugh track now, whereas before, I didn't notice it. So that's what started. That's what came up. What we came up
Either with. Way, I think Friends does hold up. It is very funny. It was, you know, Seinfeld and Friends were the sitcoms of the 90s.
Don't put those two in the same category.
I'm not saying it's. I'm saying in terms of sitcoms of the 90s, Those are your two juggernauts.
I'm sorry, Jay, your number 10 was not Friends, though, correct?
No, my number 10 is Friends.
Oh, it is Friends. Okay.
I was saying Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt made fun of Friends where they say it was six angry white people.
Six angry white people. Or,
I see what you're saying.
Have you seen Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
I think it might come up later in the show.
Okay.
No, we love Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Watching it again, it's even funnier the second time. But
there was that line where he says, we used to watch a show called, it was Six Angry White People Complaining or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Or Six White People Complaining. That's what
Six White People, not whatever, Six Angry White People Complaining.
In a coffee shop, sure.
Whatever it was.
Anyway,
it was all right, Action Jackson.
I'm going to go with one that actually I had. It was going back and forth, and Ralph kind of sold me on it. It was a show that only had like six episodes, but Police Squad. Hilarious show. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Six episodes, probably 25 minutes long because they had less commercials back then. But it was also the people from that wrote the movies Airplane and Police Squad. Was it Police
Academy?
Academy, yeah. The Naked Gun series. It was a show they had on there. It was similar to the, Leslie Nielsen was on it and stuff like that. Same kind of comedy. That. So I'm going with Police Squad. Only six episodes.
Right. I don't know that one. Do you know that?
I vaguely remember it.
I told you a lot of these are going to be before your guys' time.
Well, to move it along, my number 10 is Community. It's a Dan Harmon series, at least most of its run. It had some pretty rough sections, and so I can see why it might not make a top 10 list, but it was one of the few distinctly sitcom-y sitcoms that basically got to appointment viewing for us, at least in the good seasons. Even their gimmick episodes, some are absolute misses, but some are just irresistible. So just because they just went all over the place, I love the characters, I love the humor. Chevy Chase's internal hatred for the show telegraphed on the show, I also found that kind of fun as well. So my number 10 is Community.
I would say at times it was brilliant.
Also, that's what I love about Community is it's almost like they're swinging for a home run each time, so they would strike out. But when they got it right in an episode, it's some of the best TV that was on there.
Was it Blankets and Fort Blank?
Blanket Forts. Yeah, yeah.
That was just an amazing.
The paintball episode, which is legendary.
And there were times it wasn't even funny, but it was so interesting.
I think my favorite is Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. That one's great. One of my favorite lines that Donald Glover has. There's like all saying nice things about Neil. He goes like, Neil. Donald Glover was great in that show. He's missed. But I've liked the Yahoo show so far.
I watched the first Community. One.
But no, cool pick. Cool pick.
All right.
Jen, back to you.
It's not Friends. I can't argue with that. I like
My number 9 is called The Young Ones. It ran on MTV in the 80s. It was a British sitcom about four kids in college. There was a punk rocker, an anarchist, a hippie, and I can't even describe what Mike was. I can't even. But anyway, it was about these four kids, British kids in college, and it was just gross and disturbing and disgusting and hilarious. And it introduced me to a lot of Britpop. One of the gimmicks on the show was they take a break from the action, like practically mid-sentence sometimes, and introduce pop stars. They would play a set on the show. So I kind of got my knowledge of British music on the show. So it was very influential for me.
I remember it.
Awesome.
I don't think I watched it because I was old, but I do remember it.
My number 9 is going to be 30 Rock on NBC, the Tina Fey classic. But I could argue now, though, that Kimmy Schmidt could possibly replace that show for me. I just, it's like the most recent thing right now, maybe in my mind. But 30 Rock, up until, for me, the live episodes that they did was just really, really funny, really witty. Loved Tracy Morgan's character, Tracy Jordan.
I love Tracy Morgan.
And Alec Baldwin's character is fantastic. So
and the page.
Jack Donaghy, Kenneth the Page.
Kenneth the Page.
Just really great characters, really great moments, nerdy, funny moments. I love the show.
I love it too, and I agree that Kimmy Schmidt is the obvious spiritual successor, but I think it's – I love Kimmy Schmidt too, but I think it's too early to say it might be better than 30 Rock. I think was a much more – had a harder bite to me at least so far compared to Kimmy Schmidt. But I agree. I would put that on my list as well.
My number nine is going to be one funny lady before Tina Fey, the original one, Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh.
She can turn the world on with her smile. I mean, I can still watch it today and still laugh. The Chuckles the Clown episode, I don't know if you guys ever watched it, but Chuckles the Clown episode, funniest thing I've ever seen on television. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to watch that episode.
Well, I remember it being on in the house. It might have been in reruns, but no, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You got to watch the Chuckles the Clown episode, though, I guess.
That sounds scary, but okay. I guess we'll go looking for that one.
Well, it's about a funeral and stuff. Like, it's funny.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Hilarious.
Okay. I'm telling you, I know no one else has seen it, but it's hilarious.
My number nine is this is my British entry, I guess. Blackadder, Rowan Atkinson, kind of a historical comedy. I had a lot of nominees that would kind of fill this slot, Fawlty Towers and things like that. But I just remember Blackadder being a show that when I was younger, I had to kind of hunt around to find it. I was taping it on VHS. I would have to look up something from every episode because it was a British reference that I didn't understand. But his humor and the costuming and everything, just his spirit, I couldn't get enough of. So Blackadder is my number nine.
All right. Wunderbar.
Jen, your next one.
My number eight is another English import. It's the UK version of The Office.
Ah, yes.
I really did like the American version most of the time. I think it had its weak spots. But for me, The Office UK edition just was consistently great because it had so much of that cringy, I can't watch this kind of humor, which to me, it really it made it better, I think. Just it made it a lot more topical and a lot. It's just a very different kind of comedy, and I liked it a lot.
It was the first of those, almost taking the Spinal Tap or Waiting for Guffman or Best in Show, that mockumentary approach, but in that sitcom. And And I think it also benefited from only being, two six-episode seasons and two Christmas episodes. It didn't linger too long, so it was one cohesive thing. It was a brilliant, brilliant show. Good pick.
All right, Jay, your next
one. My number three is going to be Parks and Rec.
Three.
I'm sorry. Eight, nine, set.
Eight.
Eight.
You're just tired. You're almost done.
Parks and Recreation is my number eight.
Very good pick. I love that.
Me too.
I mean, to me, once it got to the Ben and Leslie storyline, I love that love story. Andy Dwyer, the lovable idiot, and he's just hilarious.
I had a love-hate relationship
with Ron Swanson. I mean, just so many just great characters. Just great, great, great characters. First season, one of the worst seasons of any sitcom ever.
Terrible.
But
that's what I heard.
Such a rebound into what I thought was a fantastic sitcom.
Well, Jay had to convince me to. I hated season one. I watched every episode of season one. I go, this is terrible. And he goes, oh, it got better in season two. I go, there's no way. So I didn't watch it for a couple seasons. I did like it. I just never saw
I say start with season two, then once you love this show so much, then go back and watch season one.
Need to watch season one. It doesn't make any sense with the story, does it?
I think basically the spirit changed because they started kind of almost making fun of these characters and having disdain for these characters and their quirks. And finally they got to the point where, no, we love them for these quirks and we're affectionate toward them. So, no,
yeah, the characters really rounded out. They became more than characters. They became relatable, which I think was probably where it succeeded. They turned something flat into something three-dimensional.
Well, I think nice. the problem that I had with the main Leslie, I couldn't stand her. The first season, I just like she's the main character, and it's like nails on the chalkboard when she and I love Amy Poehler. It just was.
Yeah, I think Aubrey Plaza and Ron Swanson. All right, well, those characters were definitely my favorites. I would just sort of wait for them to come around.
My number eight is I got permission from Ryan on this one. I got the okay from Ryan on this one.
Okay.
Pre-approved.
Got the Curb Your Enthusiasm. Hilarious show. That's my bald-headed brother, Larry David. If you haven't seen it, I finally got talked into watching it about a year ago. People said, it's your kind of humor. You like it. I go, all right, I'll try it. I was disappointed when it ended, when I was done. I mean, I powered through it. It was like 7 seasons, probably like a month. It's on HBO. If you have HBO on the go, watch it. It's funny. It's a funny. He's a co-creator of Seinfeld. So it's got a lot of that kind of humor in it, but it's an excellent show.
My number 7 is Seinfeld. It's still my go-to show when I'm cranky or have not had a good day. I can just watch any episode and it makes me happy again. It's just another really quotable show with great characters. You can see the characters kind of changing and growing throughout the show's long run. I think my favorite episode is probably the episode that's kind of memento style, the backwards one at the wedding in India.
Oh yeah, it's a classic. I mean, there's so many classic episodes. And you did skip Ryan, so we'll get back to Ryan, but right?
Oh,
skip
Ryan? That's right.
But Seinfeld.
You know what's funny? That's my least favorite episode of Seinfeld.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Interesting. The backwards
episode, I don't know what it is. That's my least favorite episode.
Because it requires you to watch it.
You know, one of the things that Jen said about Seinfeld is there's like an episode that you like there. If you're having some bizarre domestic experience, you can compare it to something that was depicted on Seinfeld. So I'll just throw in that my number 8 in that slot, I have a very similar show. It's called The Simpsons. And, you know, it's very fashionable to hate on it now. But I cannot deny the respect of a show that has survived as long as it has and has evolved along with our country, our culture, our humor. I mean, even though I don't seek it out anymore, I can accidentally land on either a Simpsons new episode or a rerun and enjoy it. And just like The Simpsons, there seems to be no moment in a given day where a Simpsons quote won't fit. So that's my number 8.
Better run egg.
How long have you been on?
Since late 89.
Wow.
26 years.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it's great with the FX Now app or the Apple TV app, having every single episode of Simpsons ever. So I've been doing a rewatch of that. But going back and watching from the first season, it's amazing how fresh it was. But it's still, the newer episodes are still
enjoyable. You had a Bart Simpson doll.
Yeah, I got into the Bartman craze. My number 4, I'm sorry, my 4th one, number 7, I keep doing that. It's late, I'm sorry, is Eastbound and Down.
Oh, yeah.
On HBO. Just very vulgar.
Very crude.
Kenny Powers, but is a great bad character. But anyways, I love this show.
That's a great show.
It's done. It's 4 seasons.
It's crude.
If you have HBO Now, which is exclusive to the Apple TV or HBO Go.
Thank you, Jay.
Ching!
It's good. Check it out.
You know, the way you describe it, I've not seen it, but the way you describe it is enough to make me want to check it out for sure.
It's just like he's the worst person ever.
He's someone you wouldn't hang out with. You couldn't stand the guy.
He's a horrible person.
But you can't help but laugh at it. I forgot about it. I probably would have put it on my list. I would have remembered it, but it is funny.
Yeah. Anywho.
All right.
My number
7.
7? Okay. Is the Dick Van Dyke Show. Can still watch. I mean, Jay was doing a rewatch of it.
I love Dick Van Dyke Show.
It's still funny. I can turn it. That's what I think of a great show. It was from the 60s, and I can still put that show on and still make me laugh.
And there's like the domestic humor they had in that show, I think, is still relevant to a lot of things of today, even though it's, you know, what, 40, 50 years later.
Yeah, it's a classic show. And then, again, if you haven't seen it, it's on probably somewhere, but great show.
To me, it's the closest thing to the modern sitcom that we see today.
But Rob!
There you go.
Rob! All I can remember that isn't that where he trips over the ottoman in the opening sequence?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, sometimes, and sometimes they skip, they do the little, and he skips around it, so... You never know what's going to happen. That's the beauty of the show. The opening scene.
That's another classic, a good pick. My number seven is my exemption cleared through the Twitter judgment panel and Jack, because it isn't half an hour, and I'm not sure, you know, anyway, the definition of sitcom can be fluid. So it's Northern Exposure. Again, from my, I would guess, adolescent days, I mean, it was just one of those shows that I adored. And the thing that struck me about the show when I was watching it was there were so many older characters that I wouldn't have thought would have appealed to me as like a 15 or 16 year old that were actually compelling. You know, you had Maurice and you had Holling. But yes, of course, Rob Morrow starting there and all of that. Just a charming show about a fish out of water. So that's my number seven, Northern Exposure.
I used to watch it when I was home, but I don't think I had the capability of recording it back then. So I'd watch it, but I used to work a lot of nights back then, so I'd watch it, not watch it.
Yeah, and Chris Stevens was like the quintessential small-town radio DJ. I mean, that's a character you almost always like.
Yeah, it was a good show.
All right, Ms. Jen?
Yeah. My number six is Arrested Development. I still love it. I have yet to catch up with it, but I watched every episode in its initial run. I just loved everything about it. It's the callbacks, the kind of Lostian writing where one thing refers to something else you haven't even seen yet. I think Jay once called it the Lost of comedy, and I think that was a really apt description.
Yep. Yeah, just an amazing... Thanks. Amazing comedy that was unappreciated and had its cult following. And say what you want about the Netflix season, you know, I think it tried to make the best out of the situation that it was in. But still, it's just a great show, great show.
Do you think the Netflix season, that broken up setup that they had to go with, is it part of the family, or is it more like a mutant extra sixth toe?
Probably more with the mutant kind of offshoots. You know, I think it was more in the infancy of what Netflix was trying to do. And I think if it was a little bit later and maybe the budgets and everything they have now. But to me, it's just the thing that hurt it the most is that the cast couldn't come together for the show. And you could tell they were kind of trying to make the best of a situation, which kind of made it lesser than.
I wasn't a huge fan of Arrested Development, but I think the biggest mistake was they had too many episodes. When the Netflix, there were just too many, and there were some that were really funny. And it was like, going, okay, this is, you just did this joke. It just seemed like it was the same thing. I was going, I could have done without this episode. But there were three or four that were really funny, and there was like the rest were like, okay, I could do without.
Yeah, there's always money in the banana stand.
Yeah.
My number six is a show that didn't end too well, dragged on a little too long. But when it was on, just fantastic, emotional, and hilarious stuff. Scrubs is my number six. Oh.
I can't do it all on my own.
No, I know Superman.
Anyways, number six.
My number six is The American Office. Look forward to it every week.
American.
It did last too long. I mean, I was calling for it to end. Once Michael Scott leaves, that's when they should have just ended it. It hung on just because it was a top-rated show on NBC and they didn't have anything else at the time. And it did hurt its legacy, but for me, I can still watch the first, seven seasons? When did he leave? Before he left, and then I could watch almost every episode and laugh, but after that, it's like, because I watched a few of them the other day, I was like, oh, that's bad. But it's still good enough to make my list, so I'll stick with The American Office.
Right, there you go.
I can respect that. I like the U.S. one. My number six is a short-lived series. It's Sports Night, and this series was my first TiVo artificial intelligence moment, where I would watch all the shows that I like to watch, and my TiVo said, "You will like Sports Night," and I said, "No way! This does not make any sense. I have no interest in sports." But one day when you run low on your TiVo queue, you're like, all right, fine, I'll check this out. And then that was when I discovered, oh, it's Aaron Sorkin. Oh, it's fast-talking, smart dialogue, snappy one-liners, clever characters. And I just fell in love. And, of course, it wasn't around for very long. I think just two seasons, if that.
I think it was two seasons.
But, yep. Sports Night was just a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it, and it was a surprise discovery for me.
All right. Miss Jen.
My number five was The Monkees. Yeah, I remember, vaguely remember watching it on reruns when I was really little, but then they brought it back on MTV in the 80s, and just the music was so great. I know they weren't real musicians, they weren't a real band, but they had some brilliant songwriters behind them.
That was my first band. Them and the Partridge Family, come on.
I see.
I liked it even, you know, the later seasons, it got really surreal and really weird because they were hanging out with Jack Nicholson and they were doing all kinds of weird stuff. But even those were enjoyable because I loved the music and I loved all four of them.
I didn't even think about that one. Good choice.
There you go.
All right, Jay, you're number five.
My number five is The Dick Van Dyke Show. Love Dick Van Dyke Show. Can watch it on Netflix all day long. Just so many. Just again, I feel bad for other shows that have to go post this show because just so many types of things. Like, oh, this is the one where they kind of do this with the family, or that and this and that and the other. Kind of see it on this show. And just,
well, still, Dick Van Dyke's a genius. I mean, the episode where he has to stay up for 90. He's doing the DJ thing where he's staying up for 100 hours, and then he has to go interview for the job.
Yeah,
as head writer. It's a brilliant episode.
But just see, is it Carl Reiner?
Carl Reiner.
Was a writer on the
show. He was originally in the pilot.
He was. He played the person in the pilot. But you have Dick Van Dyke, great physical comedian, great timing, and you have, you know, Mary Tyler Moore becoming a star.
Yeah.
In that show. Just a great, great show.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. My number five is Scrubs. I love Scrubs. I can still watch it today. I even like they had that spinoff one. I know a lot of people hated it. It wasn't great, but it was still good enough that I enjoyed it. I love Scrubs, and if it's on, I'll watch it today.
You know, I think I must have dropped off after it got not as good, but I do remember watching it. Who was the janitor? What was his the actor's name?
We just called
him
janitor.
He's on the middle.
Yeah, he didn't have a name.
All right, that's a good one. My where are we? Five. My number five, That 70s Show.
Ooh, okay.
Romanticizing a decade that I'm not sure I necessarily remember, but you know, a lot of characters, a lot of actors basically that went on to either do good or at least make a name for themselves. So, you know, I love the characters, and of course it speaks to what life is like as a teen in a universal way, even if it wasn't necessarily about the 70s. More pot humor, like, you know, I think I understood what that might have been like because I don't know anything about it, just from watching it on TV.
Good choice.
Very good. Yeah, it's a favorite. It's one of my sister's favorite shows. She watches it all the time.
That and Friends.
Yep.
Ah, Jen, you're number four.
Okay, I'm calling an audible. I originally had something else for my number four, but I was inspired by what my husband said. You people have held me back long enough. I'm going to clown college. My number four is The Simpsons.
Nice.
Just because we have conversations like this, we're out of the blue, I can say things like, yeah, people have held me back long enough. I'm going to clown college.
You better run, Egg.
There's one line I always use, and it's, people don't often remember it, but it's the one where Homer gets stranded in New York, and it's actually, I think it's between the World Trade Center and his car.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and, the one they don't show anymore.
There's a vendor that comes by. He's dying of thirst, and the guy goes, he's like, what do you got to drink? And he's got, we got Mountain Dew and crab juice. He's like, I'll take the crab juice.
I use that one all the time, too.
So, I don't blame him. Mountain Dew's terrible.
So, number four, Jay.
My number four is going to be Arrested Development. Just such a densely layered show, and just so many jokes that are so intertwined with each other. Just a brilliant show. It's been confirmed they're coming back for a fifth season. Hopefully they do it a little bit better than the fourth season. But second season of Arrested Development is just insanely great. So Arrested Development.
My number four is the one where everyone knows your name. Cheers. This show went out on top. It was still funny that the last episode, how many shows can say that? Was it 9 seasons, 10 seasons, lost major cast members and still was successful. Could have been higher, but the top three I have, I think, are a little better than that. But Cheers has to be my number four.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I'm surprised it is number four, so I'm curious what your next three are. My number four is just a personal favorite, and I'm not even sure it holds up because it's only going by what's in my memory, and it's a series called Night Court. Harry Anderson, John Larroquette, a lot of familiar faces again, Marquis Post and such. And I feel like this is a show that I grew up with. It was on, I think, when I was in high school in those years, and I remember that there were always jokes that John Larroquette was making that were funny and inappropriate, but I didn't understand them at first. And over the course of the show, I began to understand those jokes better. So Night Court is my number four.
All right, Miss Jen.
All right, Jen.
My number three is 30 Rock. It's one of those shows that I caught. It was kind of in the middle of its run, and we went back and watched the first two seasons on Netflix, just mainlined it. That's all we watched for like a week. And it's one of those shows I think that's going to hold up because of the humor in it. There's nothing tying it to an era. It's going to be kind of a timeless humor. And I love what they did with Jack Donaghy's character, because you could tell the way he was written, he was a little bit of a caricature of a conservative, you know, but they really made him kind of lovable toward the end. And I loved the relationship that Jack had with Liz.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely agreed. My number three is going to be the U.S. Office.
Wow.
And again, it's not some, and the reason it's so high on my list is because the end was horrible. Absolutely terrible. I can't even watch those episodes. But
it was bad.
Horrible. But terrible. Season one through season three, really, and then I can still leave season four. I can just watch those episodes over and over and over again. Like I recently put the season two on, just letting it go straight through on Netflix while I was doing something else. And I just, for some reason, I can watch those episodes countless times. And I enjoy them so much. So that's, it's more of an emotional pick, putting U.S. Office at number three.
Oh, I feel you. As an ensemble cast, I like that you could be, I mean, you can describe any individual character and know so much about them after all these years.
Yeah.
My number three is, like Ryan was saying about Night Court, didn't really understand the jokes when he was younger. I really didn't understand these jokes when I was younger, but it's a show that changed sitcoms from Bewitch and Pedego Junction and all the fantasy shows that we had, the Gilligan's Island. It's All in the Family. Without question, it changed the way we watch television, and I can still watch those today, and I understand the jokes now. And it's things that they say on TV that you couldn't possibly say on TV now.
Yes, it was pushing boundaries for sure.
Yeah, and like I said, you would think 30, 40 years later you could say it, but now that, you know, it's probably right that you couldn't say these things. But back then, I your parents, I'd be watching my parents, they go, you can't say that. You can't say that.
Right.
So it has to be All in the Family, number three.
That's a good one. That's a good one. My number three, another more personal pick than one that I think would ever be ranked on a list like this, but it was the plot or the setup that was the plot and the setup of stories that I would write when I thought I was a writer. And that's Third Rock from the Sun. John Lithgow, Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in it, Jane Curtin, you know, again, some classic faces, some classic talents, irresistible fish out of water scenario where the entire planet is alien to them. The opportunities to point out the follies of everyday life was irresistible. I just really loved that show.
That was a good one.
Jen is very happy with that.
Okay.
Miss Jen, where are we going on? Number two.
I'm scratching that off my list because you were.
My number two is Welcome Back, Kotter, a sitcom from the 70s that I caught in reruns as a little kid. And the thing I like about it now is just it was so unapologetically goofy. Like the story was about these four gang members, But they were just, they were so goofy and so weird that they were endearing. And I loved Mr. Cotter and how he related to the four of them and how he was really smart and he always had a lesson for them, but he was kind of hip to them too. And I just, to this day, I still love it. Well, although it's hard to catch now.
He was a former sweat hog.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was.
That's how he understood him, because he was a sweat hog. Because then you had, you know, Vinny, I want to say Vinny Testaverde, but that's the quarterback.
Barbarino.
Vinny Barbarino. And, you know, it's John Travolta and everybody else. That's a great one. That great show.
All right. My number two, going to be a bit of a stretch here, the UK office, following the US office.
But a trend here.
UK office, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant show. I mean, just Ricky Gervais's portrayal of David Brent and just that awkwardness and just it's painful. And where Michael Scott was more of the lovable idiot.
David Brent was really like unpleasant.
Yes, just very, yeah. Just like, why this is a horrible person. And also,
so pretty much he's playing himself.
Well, no, but but also just the show is more realistic too. Like in The Office, where Michael Scott would never keep his job that long, David Brent got fired, you know, and he still meandered on. And I found the Tim Canterbury Don. That relationship I thought was really great. I loved how they closed that out in the Christmas special. Just as a whole, I think it's a really brilliant series of television for comedy.
Okay, my number two could easily be my number one, but my number one, it's been my number one forever, so I can't make it my number one. But it's Seinfeld. I can remember watching Jerry Seinfeld do stand up on Johnny Carson. So when he finally got his show in this first season, if you guys remember the first season, it was on, it wasn't on, it had kind of a different format, but then once it got its legs, it was. I mean, like Jen was saying, when she feels bad, feels sad, you put it on. It still makes me laugh. I've seen the episodes 100 times, and I'm still laughing at the episode. So
I was in the pool.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many. I probably, like you said, it's about another show. The Simpsons. I probably quote this show every day. Every day. And like I said, it could have easily been my number one, but I have to be loyal and true to the one show that I'm going to put number one. But Seinfeld, number two.
That's a good one. My number two, The Wonder Years. Nice. Fred Savage, and of course, who didn't? Of course, I didn't, Jen, have a crush on Danica McKellar.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what to say. It was parallel. My high school years, formative years, and even though it was depicting a different time, the narrator, I can't remember his name now,
Kevin,
just kind of gave me that perspective that everything that I am going through now, someone else has gone through many, many times before, that there is universality to these experiences of growing up, whether it's in the 60s, 70s or 80s or whatever. And yeah, it was just a cute show. So I had to put it up pretty high. Great Wonder show. Years.
Great show.
What would you do?
You watch the Goldbergs?
What was that?
The Goldbergs.
The Goldbergs.
It's us.
Oh, right.
No, we haven't.
It's good.
That's probably one that we'll catch up
with,
though.
It's the 80s version of The Wonder Years.
But it's really
good. Yeah, that's
good.
What I heard.
I strongly suggest watching it. It's very
that and Blackish. I would watch Blackish.
My no, it's Jen's turn. Sorry, Jen. I was going to say.
Oh, Jen's number one. Here we go.
Number one.
My number one is The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And maybe it's just because it's new, but I don't know. I just love it. I mean, I went into it and I didn't like the first episode, but I just kept on with it. And there's so many great things about it. I think Ellie Kemper is adorable. I love watching her. I loved watching her in The Office. And there are moments that are just strangely touching. Like we find out Jane Krakowski's character, she has a backstory. We find out about her backstory. And I thought that was really kind of sweet. And there's something really happy and sweet about it, but something a little edgy about it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was one of the funniest lines in the final episode. When she's talking to her parents.
The Indian giver joke?
I was watching it on my computer. I woke my wife up laughing.
My favorite, one of my favorite jokes is in the first episode where Jane Krakowski's character offers her a water, and then she says no, and she throws it in the trash.
She doesn't even open it up. She just throws it. And then she warms out of water.
Yeah.
Well, where does the water go? Who brings the water? What?
But there's a million jokes like per episode. It's so
fast.
It's so fast. Like I watched it again with Colleen. I was like, I thought it found it hilarious the first time, and the second time around, I was like, there's so many jokes I missed the first time because there's so many jokes.
Yeah, there's visual stuff and like Easter eggs. It's incredible. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's a bold choice. I need to see more than just the one season, but I can't argue against you either because I've found it absolutely wonderful, and it gives me hope that the fun, quirky comedies can exist in a place like Netflix.
Right, right.
In the future.
All right, your number one, Jay.
My number one is South Park on Comedy Central. I have watched this show since day one when it aired. The first episode aired on Comedy Central.
Your mom was upset.
And I have grown up with it. I was, 97. I was 12, 13.
Oh, my God. You child.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn. this show just, it seems like it gets better with age and more relevant every day. And I just love that show.
It's a good show. Can't argue with it.
I know you're number one.
My number one's going to be a show. I already told Ryan my number one.
I guess you're number one.
My number one is a show I'm actually rewatching right now. I'm on Netflix, and I my wife gets mad at me that I laugh at it.
I don't know if you can count rewatching this show.
Well, at least the first five or six seasons. I've probably seen every episode. I probably couldn't even tell you how many times I've seen them, but I'm watching the seasons, and she's going, how do you laugh at that? You've seen it 1,000 times, but definitely my favorite show of all time, MASH. It's a smart comedy. It's Alan Alda is a genius. Love to meet him, but MASH is my number one.
I have a very good friend who makes a very impassioned case for it being the best television show in the history of television. So, I can see that argument. I mean, not just a sitcom, but just a great television series.
Well, they used to compare Scrubs to it, and I love Scrubs, but I'm like going, okay, it's
no,
it's not the same. That was, I used to get mad at Scrubs, even though I was a fan of Scrubs. I go, don't compare it to MASH. There's no way, even though Scrubs could have that where you make you tear up a little bit sometimes, but MASH, they could make you laugh, cry. It was just a great show. It went on too long.
That's my biggest problem. For me, the first three seasons are amazing. And honestly, I think it's for me too. It's just like I love this show by osmosis because literally first 20 years of my life, MASH was on all the time. Like that was just, I didn't have a choice but to watch MASH.
We only had one TV.
And it was back when FX used to replay it all the time or some channel we were playing it all the time. So most of my memories of the TV, like 25%, of my entire life is you watching MASH on the TV. So I know it's on TV now, but it's on Netflix now. So it is a great show. But the heights and depths in which I love Ghostbusters, this man loves MASH.
Yes, I can see that.
I don't have any figurines though. I don't have any toys. That I have little boxes. And,
anyway,
do they sell them?
Okay, well, my number one is actually Jack's number four. So thus my surprise that it was not number two, maybe behind MASH, because I knew it was going to be MASH. My number one is Cheers. You say the name of the show, the theme song jumps into your head. You can remember every detail of the set from the bar to the window with the stairs. You know all of the characters. The sentiment expressed in the theme song is kind of what was so enjoyable about it, was that familiarity that these people had. They weren't actually family, but they were a family. And again, a number of powerhouse actors, Christy Alley, Ted Danson, Woody Harrelson, Kelsey Grammer, Frasier might have been in a top 25 for me. I just had to put Cheers at number one, especially after some of my sentimental picks.
Can't argue with
it. Can't argue with that pick. Cheers.
It went out on top.
And you could, it did.
Never got
it did.
Bad.
You look at some of our lists. You have Seinfeld and Cheers, probably the two that went out on top.
Yeah, never. Or maybe they said on top, but just never went south. Like
no, they were still the top 10 of the ratings. So yeah. They went out on top.
No, great pick. So now it is time to vote. We have the audience ready here. I'm going to recap everybody's list. So
okay, we'll woke them up just to get the...
wake up! We'll start with Jen's list here. She had Archer, number 10, Young Ones, number 9, The United Kingdom Office, number 8, number 7 was Seinfeld, number 6 was Arrested Development, number 5 was Hey, Hey, We're the Monkeys. Number 4 was The Simpsons. 30 Rock. Number 2, Welcome Back, Carter. Welcome back. And number 1, a bold choice, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Unbreakable.
Damn it.
It's a miracle. I thought that was brilliant. The fact that they did that, I was like, that's brilliant. And they actually got the Songify people to do that. Did you know that?
Yep.
They brought them in to this.
Brilliant. I did not know that.
Really brilliant. All right, so that is Jen's list. My list, number 10, Friends. Number 9, 30 Rock. Number 8, Parks and Rec. Number 7, Eastbound and Down. Number 6, Scrubs. Number 5, Dick Van Dyke. Number 4, Arrested Development. Number 3, U.S. Office. Number 2, U.K. Office. Number 1, South Park.
Are you the only one that had Friends?
I think I'm the only one that had Friends.
So I guess I, when I said it doesn't hold up.
I mean, this was pretty fluid. I could have put MASH easily high up there. I could have put
You didn't have Simpsons MASH on the list?
There. No, I didn't.
So you have Friends over MASH?
That's what I'm saying. It's pretty
fluid. Uh-oh.
All right, Jack, Police Squad, Mary Tyler Moore, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Dick Van Dyke, American Office, Scrubs, America. Cheers, America. Number 4, All in the Family, number 3, Seinfeld, number 2, and Suicide is Painless.
That's a cheery thing, right? The big, like,
number
cheers.
1, yes. It's so cheery. And Ryan.
Most depressing lyrics ever.
I know. Ryan, number 10, Community. Number 9, Black Adder. Number 8, Simpsons. Number 7, Northern Exposure. Number 6, Sports Night. Number 5, That 70s Show. Number 4, Night Court. Number 3, Third Rock from the Sun. Number 2, The Wonder Years. And number 1, Cheers. So those were our lists. Colleen, do you have the chat pulled up so we can see the votes? Now it is time to vote. For who you thought had the best, first up is Jen. Put your raise your hands in the audience who thought Jen had the best list. All right, we got one in the audience. Okay, that's good. That's good. All right. Jay, my list. Who goes for me? Nobody. No Denver the Last Dinosaur. It's all right, Jamie. You don't have to give me a pity one. I don't need any pity hand raises. It's fine. All right. I got 2. Okay. But I think I don't know if they count. Jack's list. Who votes for Jack? Oh, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, it's not counting the chat votes. I could add more to it. Oh, is everybody asleep? all right. And then Ryan Ozawa. We got 1, 2, 3, 4. That's close.
Nothing in the chat?
Nothing.
I've never won outright.
So right now, it's tied. It's pretty close. Ryan is in second with 4. Jack is in first with 5. Jen and I are in the bottom barrel here.
That's not how we do it.
Right, we usually decide.
We do it live.
Will, I don't think you voted. But Will, did you vote? You voted for Ryan? All right, raise your hands again for Ryan.
There we go.
Wait, hold on. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 for you. I guess Jack wins.
I think I win, but it's not about winning. It's about the charity. It's not about winning. It's all about
boo. I don't know. I feel like Jen took risks, all right, and I appreciate that.
She did.
Thank you.
All right, and that took courage, all right?
I like the monkey choice.
That's like signing A-Rod to a 10-year contract for $10 billion. It takes guts.
But that was a mistake.
Well, she's the Yankees of this thing. She's won like 27 times already, and now
she's the Meryl Streep of this contest.
All right. Well, Ryan and Jen, really appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us.
Anytime. Thank you.
So much fun.
Are you, is Comic-Con a possibility this year? Maybe?
You know, Blue Art, after going to several Comic-Cons, we went to Disney World last year, and I think we're going to be paying for that for about 3 years. We do like San Diego, so even without going to Comic-Con, I can see us going to San Diego just because we love San Diego. So, you know, who knows? We'll keep an eye out for sure.
Very good. Right. Well, if we get the panel again this year, you guys got a spot, which now we get passes for that. So just
right, we got Christopher White though. That's pretty cool.
So just remember,
I don't know how cool that is.
But... could get you some passes.
All right,
can be taken care of.
Thank you.
But anywho, Ryan and Jen, as always, you are beautifully wonderful people. Love you so much, and thank you for coming on,
guys.
Always love chatting. Always.
And
love
we're coming
out.
To Hawaii in 2017.
Right to spear, dude.
Right. What's that?
That's a righteous beard, though, I got to tell you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, originally had to shave it, right? But then he got permission to grow it back.
Yeah, Colleen made me shave it, and then she let me grow it back.
You are the wife. No?
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate it.
Come out. Let's let us know.
Hawaii.
2017.
I think, yeah, they're doing Lost 2017. That's the thing right now.
We're going to try and make it.
Yeah.
But either way, thank you so much, guys.
Thanks,
and
guys.
That closes out the 2015 charity podcast. We made it, people. Ryan and Jen, thank you for closing it out with us. And we'll see you guys later as
right.
We'll post this out everywhere. But hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.
Aloha.
Woo!